Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And so he's not that close either. But, hopefully another week goes by and things start to get better. And now we have a better prognosis. But at this point, we're getting ready for this series without both of them.
So it sounds like we need to pump the brakes on Kevin Durant. It doesn't sound all that optimistic on Boogie Cousins. I don't find that to be a surprise. He got hurt against the Clippers. It felt like that was it for the year. Then all of a sudden this talk bubbled up that we could see him again. And I think we may have jumped the gun on that. We may have gotten a little too overly excited without realizing it. If we do see him again, it's going to be in a limited capacity. It's going to be further down the road.
Much further down the road. And I don't think that DeMarcus Cousins could return before the NBA Finals if you, in fact, get there. I think Damian Jones has a greater chance of returning before DeMarcus Cousins. I would say KD is the first of the three injured Warriors to come back. Damian Jones with the pec potentially would be available to me as the second most ready. I don't know if DeMarcus Cousins is going to play again based on what the injury was. Anthony Slater had a little video yesterday from practice where you could see DeMarcus jogging after the main session, and it was a little bit labored. He was struggling a little bit in his jog. It was just a light jog across the court. He wasn't limping or anything, but he certainly wasn't going full go. So I think DeMarcus Cousins is at least a few weeks away.
Damian Jones hasn't gotten any run since December. Can you even consider playing him in a non-blowout situation?
If he's healthy, you can throw him in there and maybe have him just for a couple minutes. I mean, you're playing Jordan Bell, and we weren't sure what you could get from Jordan Bell. And if you're in a situation where you need to just pick up a couple of fouls or send a body out there, at least he'd be available. I don't see him playing, but I think he might potentially be available here.
I got one for you, Joe, since you asked me. I mean, jump a little one for you. Livingston, Bogut, McKinney.
Oh, you're going to prop early here. I'm just giving two hours and 45 minutes before I ask for it.
Just throwing one out there.
All right.
Livingston, Bogut, McKinney, Looney.
All right, hold on. I didn't realize I was going to have to write this down.
Vin's already on it.
Bogut, McKinney.
And Bell. So I'm giving you all that. Livingston, Bogut, McKinney, Looney, and Bell.
All right, Looney too.
Yep.
So there's five here.
Yep.
Livingston, Looney, Bell, Bogut, McKinney.
If they don't give you at least 15, they lose. And I gave you a lot of
guys. So they each need to average 3 points tonight.
That's not that. Yeah, lock it up.
I'm playing the over. What are you guys playing?
What are you playing?
I mean, Looney's going to, 15 for those five. Considering all the minutes they're going to play, Livingston should get you 6 to 8 at least, shouldn't he?
I'm just saying that's...
Where does this number even come from?
You're talking about what Portland can do. You're saying
You running your math models again?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're talking about if Portland's to win a game or win a game in this series, if those guys don't at least get you 15 is the number. I'm giving you all those guys.
I'd like to be a little bit more ambitious with that number. I think you could ask for more, can't you?
I want to. That is a bare minimum. They have to get you. If they don't get you that, this team won't win.
All right, look, I asked him for cockamamie props. I got a cockamamie prop.
That's it.
I don't know
it's
why
a pretty
I'm,
good
I don't
number.
Know why I'm questioning
that's it.
This.
What did you say?
It's
you
a
doing?
Pretty good
well,
number.
What are you betting?
I was going to wait till 9:45, but
he'll have more. This is a sampler.
That was a sampler.
Of his ridiculousness.
I just ran through it, and I have it right on the number. So
see?
Just to be contrarian,
Jesus.
I'm going to play the under.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm going to play the under. I went through it, and I thought.
I see exactly 15.
Livingston, you give him 4 on his typical 2 of 3.
No, he's above 4. Livingston scored more than 4.
You give Bogut a singular bucket in about 9 to 10 minutes of action. McKinney only hits 1 3 ball. He's not going to shoot much. Jordan Bell, he gets Ariana Grande, thank you, next. And Kevon Looney. I got Kevon Looney with 6, grand total of 15. I'm playing the under, though, Coach. I'm going under.
Then they lose.
No, they win.
They
win.
That's where it gets scary.
That's why I put
because this cockamamie number is linked to a loss.
Cockamania.
Look, if these five guys that we never talk about can't get to a combined 15 points, they are losing to Portland tonight. Lock it up. And it's like,
would you take that bet?
Okay, somehow that works out.
Would you take that bet? I know what I'm talking about.
So now I got to correlate this little parlay.
I'm sorry. I got plenty more. Don't worry. You asked.
If they get 15 or more, does that mean they win the game?
Yes.
So the entire game tonight hinges on these five eclipsing the magic number of 15.
Wow.
Yes.
What if they score 17 combined and they lose the game? No, how do we address that the next day?
They won't, because anything over that, they're gonna win. 15, they have to get 15
this
to
is
win.
Incredible.
That's where my numbers. That's why I went so low of a number, saying this is their strength in numbers. I'm letting you guys know how important the other guys are. This is what Dan did such a great job laying out, going behind enemy lines, talking about what the other guys doing on that bench for Portland. All I'm saying is giving you guys a bare minimum numbers that these guys have to contribute if they're going to win this game. That's the only thing I'm saying. So that's why I didn't want to go. If I said 25, you'd be like, oh, yeah, low. Of course they'll win the game if those guys gave you that kind of number.
That is true. I would have said that.
That's why I gave you a number that you're like, man, only 15? I'm not requiring a lot. That's what I'm saying. This is this game of margins. And everyone's like, oh, the Warriors going. No. If they don't able to get to that number, the Warriors lose.
It's curious.
Nice. Great uptake. On the way out. That was strong.
Great uptake.
I didn't see that coming
either. I'm stunned
either.
You didn't put your Ebko in there as well. So that's
he's coming later. Your Ebko over under bicep stretches 4.5. And if he doesn't get the 5 bicep stretches before he checks in, look out. Warriors are going to sweat. I make my jokes, but,
no.
You know, I should.
I'm not trying to joke, though.
The way you're staring at me. All right. We got the money spot. We got a lot to get to. We have to dissect more crazy numbers. And those crazy numbers brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. There's a lot in store. I see some of you are on hold and you want to talk about the series. Dame Lillard, how do you defend him? Do you commit all your resources to Lillard and say, you know what? Beat us elsewhere. How do you want to play it? 888-957-9570. All that good stuff's coming up, plus your chance to win game 2 tickets. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. Well, the Western Conference Finals begins tonight. Warriors host the Blazers. Kevin Durant has been ruled out for tonight's game. He'll be reevaluated on Thursday, so it's unlikely he'll play in game 2. And Steve Kerr gave an update on KD's injury.
He hasn't even stepped on the floor yet. He still has pain. So there's some time ahead of him on the rehab process. So we'll have a more detailed update on Thursday.
Now, Kerr also said DeMarcus Cousins is in the same boat. No timetable for Boogie to return just yet. And Greg Papa will preview the series with Joe Lo and Dibs this morning at 8:30. Coverage of tonight's game starts with Warriors Live at 4:30 here on 95.7 The Game. And if you want to go to game 2, well, listen up. We're qualifying listeners to win tickets today, tomorrow, and Thursday at 8 a.m. courtesy of Realtor.com. Draft lottery is tonight. The guys will talk about the ping pong ball battle with NBA insider for ESPN, Amin El-Hassan. He'll hop on this morning at 9:30. The Sharks fall to St. Louis 4-2. Series knotted up a game of peace. Still to come, more cockamamie numbers from Lowe. For now, Amanda Kakadagis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you. Our Game 1 Western Conference Finals-bound listening audience. It is great to have you with us today. Greg Papa will join the show at 8:30. Amin El-Hassan, ESPN NBA insider, at 9:30. We'll talk to him about everything, including tonight's lottery. Three teams with a 14% chance of getting the number one overall pick. The Knicks, the Suns, and the Cavs. It's the first year they've got these new rules in place. We'll give you our lottery locks later in the show around 9:45 when Lo lays out all of his props for game 1. But just right off the top, very quick, very initial, are the Knicks getting the number one pick tonight?
Yes, they are, Joe. It's just that simple for me.
Follow-up question. Do you think Kevin Durant is more interested in who gets the number one pick or in game 1 of the Western Conference Finals? Now think about it. He's obviously going to be in tune to both. I know it's very easy to say, oh, the Western Conference Finals, he'll be locked into that for sure. But if he is, in fact, going to the Knicks, that's got to be something he's very intrigued in watching.
Yes, he's more interested in the lottery. There's only one lottery, and this Warrior Series is best of 7. So a little bit more urgency for me, for him to be focused on the lottery.
Ooh, do you see it the same way? If you were him, would you be more interested in the lottery tonight?
No, I think you got to realize that is going to take care of itself. Right now, you're like, you want to see what your guys are going to do, because it's a situation where you're like, man, can they really win without me? Can they really, can, you know, selfishly, you want them to win, but at the same time, sometimes you're like, okay, If they go down, think about if they would have lost with the Rockets. You know what I'm saying? So,
I like that you bring that up.
Because I'm being
Because
real.
I think there's some honesty there. Not saying he's like that, but there are people who, if they get hurt, they probably think to themselves, I'd rather see the team lose so people realize how great I am.
When Phillip Rivers played in that AFC Championship game, no way his ass should have been out there.
The Patriot game the Patriots, where Billy Volek had gotten
Volek
you there.
Billy Volek beat Indianapolis. He was on fire. He was better. Guys knew he was better. But you know what? Phillip wanted to play.
And his knee was a mess.
And his knee was a mess. Just had surgery 1 week before that. Surgery. And he goes out there and tries to run. He can't move. He can only go straight forward. And you go at a guy out there with a half leg, and the Billy Volek shown that he's capable because we got him from Tennessee. He can win Fresno State's finest. He was a good player. And the guys wanted to stay with him. So, yes, guys do sometimes take it selfishness. And I've been there, too. I'm not going to lie.
I appreciate the honesty.
It's tough. You're like, well, you don't want to see anyone get hurt. But, like, man. They lost without me. You know, LT had a big game, having a smaller game. Wow, see the effect that you had when I left, and then LaRon McClain only had 400 yards the next year. You're like, man, everyone's – they miss Neil. Those things that make you feel good, I'm not going to lie.
I like it.
Yeah, so
– I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You're just being human.
But does KD want the team to lose? No, but at times you're like – if they do, you're like, man, it gets to show you where you really at, how much they really did need you, and they understand that. And the Warriors, some of the guys know that too. Let's show him. It's not personal. They don't want to play without him, but they're saying, okay, now we're playing without him. They get their chest a little bigger, say, let's show KD and the rest we still can win without him. Even you heard the guys. So, yeah, without a doubt. So I believe, to get back to your question, yes, he's going to watch the game more with a little interest in hand.
All right, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Steve from Oakland is on hold. We're taking calls during the segment if you want to talk about Game 1 and everything beyond for the Western Conference Finals and NBA Finals. Steve in Oakland, welcome to the show. Fire when ready.
How are you guys doing? I think you guys are missing the main point. It's like Damian Lillard's from Oakland, right? And think if you're from Oakland and this is the last chance you're ever going to get to play at the Oakland Coliseum. It's the Western Conference Finals, and it's against the Warriors. Do you know how extremely hard Damian Lillard is going to go? You guys aren't giving him that extra right there because he's looking at CJ, and CJ's looking at him like, we ready. So, I mean, everybody's locked in, and I think you guys are kind of sleeping on how hard Damian Lillard is going to go and how many Damian Lillard family and fans are going to be at the game. It might be half and half. This is the best thing to happen to Oakland in a long time. Thank you.
All right, great point. Let's jump into that right there. How do you defend Damian Lillard in this series? Fun fact about Lillard, two actually. Number one, for his entire career, regular season and postseason combined, he scores more points on average against the Warriors than any team in the business. 27.8 points per game against the Warriors for his career, higher than any other opponent he's faced throughout that illustrious career. In addition to that, so far in these playoffs, when taking a three-pointer of 30 or more feet, Lillard is 8 of 14. He is 8 of 14 when putting up a shot from 30 or more feet. Now, to put that in perspective, he's 8 of 14 from 30 or more feet. The rest of the NBA is 10 of 100. 10 of 100 for the entire NBA in the postseason when shooting from 30 or more feet. Lillard is 8 of 14. He is over 50% from that far back. And in addition to that, obviously, the angle that Steve from Oakland just brought up, he's coming home. One way or another for Lillard, this is it for him playing at Oracle Arena and playing in Oakland. How do you defend him in this series? How much attention do you pay to him? Do you think if we sell out against Lillard, good luck to Portland beating us four times in seven games with everyone but Dame going off?
I think you sell out on both of them, Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, and then you play 3-on-3 behind, knowing full well that you might get beaten a little bit by Evan Turner every now and again and other bit pieces on this Portland team. I think you take Clay and you put Clay on Damian Lillard and you say, go get him, Clay. And you use Iguodala against CJ McCollum and you say to Iguodala, take CJ, and then we'll do our best with the 3-on-3 behind. If it's Enes Kanter and you got Bogut on Kanter, you've got Draymond with the ability to roam. The thing about Portland that doesn't scare me as much as Houston is you don't have the same amount of three-point shooting outside of CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard. So if you get beat by Dame and CJ, fine, you got to tip your hat. These are great players, and Lillard plays very well at Oakland, including a buzzer beater three, a dagger three on December 27th this year in overtime one of the two games Portland won against Golden State. It was in Oakland. Dame feels very comfortable in the Coliseum. So I think you look at that defensively, and you hope that Clay can do what he did against Houston.
Four games this year between the Blazers and the Warriors. On the season, Lillard shot 44% from the floor. He was 44% from the floor, his second highest shooting total. It's actually tied for his highest from 2016-2017. But in the four games against the Warriors, when primarily guarded by either Klay Thompson or Andre Iguodala, he drops from 44% to 32%. Iguodala and Klay Thompson have an effect on Damian Lillard. The question is, how often will one, if not both, be covering him? How do you attack Dame Lillard in this series?
You can't let him and CJ beat you. To me, you can't let those two guys beat you. You can say, well, let the others beat you. I think that they have enough guys that they've had a little bit more veterans that they can beat you. So don't let those two. If you can limit CJ and Dame, I think your chances go up even more. I think if you just say, okay, let others guys, I think that those guys have been in enough playoff series, the rest of those guys, and they've had big-time playoff minutes. I don't leave it up to the other guys, their bench players. I try to limit most two superstars because those two guys, you can limit those guys and keep them, you know, under 25. I think your chances go up tremendously. I think the other guys can beat you, but you got, in my opinion, I'm trying to focus on those two superstars.
Phone lines are open, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We're coming to you in just a second. A reminder, we've got Game 2 tickets, Warriors-Blazers, Thursday night, tip time 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. We've got those to start the process of giving them away at 8 o'clock today. You will have a chance to win Game 2 tickets today at 8, tomorrow at 8, and Thursday at 8, courtesy of your boys Jolo and Dibs, as well as the great people at Realtor.com. Trivia question time. Everyone gets a shot. Since 2012-2013, since that season, the pair of teammates on a drafted team, the team that drafted them, that have scored the most points combined, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I don't think anyone's going to find that to be that surprising. 24,329 combined points from Steph Curry and Klay Thompson since 2012-2013. The second group of drafted teammates that appear on this list would be Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, 18,675 points. Who's third? Who's the third set of teammates drafted by the team that they're on, right? Okay, so they weren't acquired like Durant. Drafted by the team that they're on since 2012-2013, third highest scoring pair of teammates. Number one, Curry Thompson. Number two, Lillard McCollum. And number three. Anyone can jump in at any time.
Well, what were the options? I'm sorry?
They're not options.
Oh, okay, it sounded like you said
Curry,
options.
Curry and Clay are one. Dame and CJ are two. Which teammates ranked third? 2012-2013.
Man, it's
usually
super,
I'm looking around.
Super
it's
tough.
Just deer in the headlights.
This is a really tough question.
You can just pick the team if you want. You don't even need to get the teammates right.
Let's go, Sacramento.
Sacramento. I appreciate the effort. It is incorrect, but I appreciate the effort. Everyone else is trying to figure out if they want to guess a football guess, if they want to weasel their way out of it.
I'm going Detroit Lions, Joe. My initial gut was Toronto with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, even though DeRozan's not there anymore, so I'm going to go with Toronto.
Not bad. Incorrect, though.
So correct.
One for low, too. I didn't.
So from 2012-2013, though, you're saying?
Starting at 2012-2013.
That's still together now?
The correct answer is John Wall and Bradley Beal. I can only let the criteria 50 times before I have to announce. I have to announce an answer at some point. So John Wall and Bradley Beal, 18,356. To the phones we go. Josh in Oakland. Josh, thank you for the phone call. Fire when ready.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm excited as much as you guys are. Thank you for taking my call. I believe the Trailblazers don't got a chance versus Kawhi Leonard. He's seen the potential of the Warriors a long time ago, way before when he used to play for the Spurs, and he always used to go against the wall. And bottom line, they're more exhausted, they're more tired, and yes, the Warriors have enough players to cover all the basketball courts, even though without Kevin Durant, because they're just more experienced to be there. However, the Raptors are not the threat for the Warriors, not at all.
All right, Josh, appreciate the phone call. Thank you for weighing in. Brian in Palo Alto. Brian, thanks for the phone call. Welcome to the shore. What are we at, the beach? the show.
Sure as a galley.
Fire when ready.
Yeah, I think Warriors in five. You know, I think it's the same. This is the same Portland, literally the same Portland team, same players. It's been Warriors have beat them, what, two or three times in the playoffs already? And, you know, Clay is a completely different animal for Dame and McCollum defensively. And just keep play on him, keep Iguodala on McCollum, make him work for everything. They may go off one game, but over time it's shown as volume shooters. They're going to probably shoot around 37-38% against the Warriors, and that's happened pretty much every series they've ever had against them. Thanks, Jess.
Appreciate the phone call. I'm trying to figure out, when getting ready to make a prediction on the series, what exactly I can believe and what I can't believe. I'm really enjoying watching Portland play throughout the postseason, but the way Lillard shot and performed against Oklahoma City was very, very different than the way he shot and performed against Denver. He had a ton of success against the Thunder. His numbers through the roof. Everything plummeted against the Nuggets. Now, that's fine. Tough series. Denver's a very good A, home team, and B, defensive team. They slowed things down. So to experience a dip like that, again, it is the playoffs. It's great competition. But what do I believe for this series? Yes, the original caller who said Dame's going to try to go off, he's definitely going to try to show out. Without question, he's going to get a lot of shots up. You know he's going to have all the energy in the world to make this happen. But how much of previous playoff experiences from Portland, like previous years, do I just discount? You had two nice wins, but do I take everything I saw from last year and the two series against the Warriors from back in the day, do I just completely discredit that? Because that has me leaning to the Warriors in a relatively easy, potentially 4 or 5-game series. Then on the flip side, how excited can I get about what I saw in Game 6 against Houston? Yes, the bench played well. Yes, Steph scored 33 in the second half. Klay scored 27 in that game. Can we bank on that to be the norm going forward, or is there going to be a regression there as well? Wouldn't shock me at all if Portland found a way to win this game tonight. Not what I'm predicting, but I can't say I'd be surprised at virtually any outcome at all. Really, if you put anything on the table from Warriors sweep to Warriors losing in seven, I don't think any one of those is off the table. I don't think there's
Warriors like, get swept.
Right. Warriors
would be
get swept is off the table. Warriors losing in five is off the table. Warriors losing in six is off the table.
Warriors losing in six is even off the table for you. That's surprising, because in a scenario where you split these first two and Lowe thinks that Portland has a better chance in game two than they do in game one, let's just give Portland a split and then give Portland the two up at the Motive Center. All of a sudden you're down 3-1. Even if you come home here as a Warrior team and win in five, you got to go back up north and win in game six.
They've won a road game in 21 consecutive
correct.
Series. So in that scenario, I would see them winning game five and then winning game six and bringing it back home. Yeah, I don't see.
And then
see,
winning game seven at home. Can you see him losing in seven?
Yeah, I could see that.
Losing at home in seven. Wow.
I could see it. Not saying I favor it, not saying I predict it, but I could see that in this scenario. I'm not sure how. Portland has played extraordinarily well. They were a team that got literally no credit when the playoffs started. I believe everyone in this room, was there anyone here who picked Portland to win that opening series? I know you and I both had OKC winning
correct.
That an upset. That was one of the upsets.
OKC, because I was disappointed because they lost a big man. I said Portland was going to be, I was
right.
high on Portland until they lost their guy.
Nurkic absolutely. Went down and we were all like, man, that's such a tough beat.
That's
they were
exactly
having a nice year.
Yep.
And now here they are in the Western Conference
scrapping.
Finals for the first
scrapping.
Time since 2000.
Scrapping.
And with Durant out. You can't just completely write this scenario
that's
off.
That's all I've been saying.
I can't write this off. I don't want to. But then on the flip side, if the Warriors go out and win this thing in five and make it look easy, I'm not going to be surprised by that either. So I think that's the intrigue coming into this, is that there really is a complete crapshoot as to how this is going to play out. The Warriors open as 8-point favorites for game one. That's down to 7.5. So you've seen a little Portland money coming in. You said you liked Portland plus the points. It was too many.
Yeah.
You also sided to the under, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I have. I just think that Portland is a scrappy little team. The Warriors, yes, the Warriors are a better team. You look at them, you say, well, the Warriors, we get it. They're better. But what has Portland done? All they have done is quiet their critics. They have found a way. OKC, everyone said OKC is winning that. You look at what they have, Russell Westbrook, Paul George. You looked at Kenter. You said, oh, my God, this team is going. Everyone talked about this may be a great matchup for the Warriors. That's what we were saying. Everybody were saying that. But they found a way to get by that. Then you look at Denver. They go to Denver. They take it to game seven, down by 17 down by 17 in game number seven. They found a way to win that one. So when you look at Portland, Portland keeps beating the odds. They believe that they can compete. they believe that they belong because they have. And now when we talk about, is the level of competition from the first round to the second round to the third round, has it increased for the Warriors? It is yet to be seen, because we look at it and did it really increase? Well, we can say that we're like, well, Houston probably was the better team. What was Houston really the better team that they're going to play in the playoffs when you saw the Clippers win the same amount? The Clippers won the same amount of games as the Rockets won. Are we viewing that really different? Why? Because Chris Paul, and you had the James Harden MVP. So was that really the reason why we said that was a closer matchup? You look at Clippers. Clippers gave them just as much as hell as the Rockets did. And now you're looking at Portland. Is Portland, everyone's saying that, oh, this might be the easiest route. I don't go in there, and that's where Steve Kerr is going to have to make sure he has those guys ready to play. You cannot go into this game just saying, okay, we got take that exhale. We already been through the Rockets now. Now we got Portland. Portland's a beat-up team. We can't look at it like this, because this team is dangerous.
I don't think that they're going to go the Whitney Houston route waiting to exhale because they don't have Kevin Durant. If you had KD, I'm totally with you. This would be a classic letdown spot. But knowing that you don't have Kevin Durant, especially for the bench players who knew they had to play even better than you predicted they would. You predicted 20 points for the bench. They had 35. So they see how much that impact mattered in that ball game. I think if you look at the most likely scenario for me, it's Warriors in five. The second most likely is Warriors in six. The third most likely is Warriors in seven. It's not until the fourth most likely scenario that I get to Portland in six, Joe. So for me, it's a Warriors series, and that's why the series price-wise, they're heavily favored.
Portland in six before Portland in seven.
Correct. Correct. Because I think in the scenario that John Canzano laid out at the Oregonian that we've been borrowing from throughout the morning, and thank you, John, it's a split here for Portland in Oakland. Then you win both at Portland, and then the Warriors get game five here, and then Portland would close out in six. To me, that's the most likely way Portland wins the series.
In the 5 years under Steve Kerr, this is the worst record the Warriors have taken into the conference finals. They're 8-4 entering this year. They were 8-2, 8-2, 8-0, 8-2 in the previous 4 years when entering the Western Conference Finals. So a little bit more wear and tear on the legs as they get set to play Portland. Two-part question, but don't worry about the second part right now. I'll ask that again when we get through the first part. Of the five trips to the Western Conference Finals, how do you rank the opponent in terms of threat to beat you? Year one, it was the Rockets. Year two, it was OKC. Year three was the Spurs. Year four was Houston. Now, remember in that Spurs series, Kawhi got hurt in game one. But going into this series, Kawhi was healthy. Year four was Houston last year, and now we've got Portland. The second part of this question will be entertainment value. Where do you stack this up against the others? Don't worry about that now. Houston in year one, the Thunder in year two, the Spurs in year three, the Rockets last year, and now the Blazers. Where do the Blazers rank in terms of threat to defeat you? So I'll start with, which one of these teams would you rank as the first biggest threat to defeat you? And then where did the Blazers rank in there?
I think the biggest threat for me was OKC. Just the idea of
73-win season.
Yes. Even though it was a 73-win season, you were going up against KD and Russell Westbrook. The second one for me is San Antonio. And I'm glad that you reminded me about the injury. I was actually at that game with the family. Warriors were down by 20-plus at that time, at halftime.
It was boating.
They were getting crushed in game one at home. And if it wasn't for the Kawhi injury, maybe that turns out differently. At least it'll be more competitive. Last year's Houston, I think, is the third most competitive. First-year Houston would be fourth, and I have this Portland matchup as the easiest of the five.
Least competitive. The least threatening of all.
Least threatening.
Wow, okay.
Least threatening of all, and that's why I have it in Warriors in five, Joe, which is my official, and I'll lock it in later, but I think it's Warriors in five. It's a gentleman's sweep for Golden State.
All right, now where do you see Portland ranking in terms of threat? Houston year one, OKC year two, Spurs year three, Rockets last year, Portland this year. How big of a threat? Who was the number one threat?
The number one threat has to be Houston last year. Last year, game seven, no, it was going on a road. They were in a tough situation. That has to be one. Number two is going to be OKC. That second one has got to be the Claymaker game. That would be the second biggest threat. And the third biggest threat to me would be Portland. Would be Portland, and then the fourth is going to be the Spurs, and the last would be the Rockets the first year.
What was it like going into the Oklahoma City series? So many years ago, I can't remember overall what we were thinking. It was the 73-win season. We were probably quite arrogant, I would have to imagine. That was, what, 15-16?
Yeah.
The Spurs finished six games back of the Warriors that year. Warriors went 73-9. The Spurs were second at 67-15. Durant and Westbrook went 55-27. They finished third in the West. They were 18 games back of the Warriors when the season ended. Did we go into that thinking of them as a big threat? I'm trying to remember. I don't remember confidence.
Yeah, I thought for some reason I kept thinking we were like super confident.
It's a 73-win season. Like, we probably were really arrogant going into that. You think back on Durant and Westbrook playing together, and it's like, damn, how did we?
Yeah,
how did we just assume that would be no problem?
Yeah, once the series start, we started paying them respect. But going into it, you thought, okay, they've been slapping them around. But once that series started, you looked around, it became a dogfight.
So your biggest threat was Houston last year, and this ranks third on that list.
Yes.
How do you see it?
I had actually OKC the first year, even though I'm still trying to remember the confidence. Houston from last year, San Antonio, Portland, and then Houston the first year.
Yeah, Houston in year one, it doesn't seem like we went it. Like, once they got past Memphis, you went into that series. I don't remember that. I think everyone started looking ahead to LeBron. Mm-hmm. The Spurs series, even with Kawhi healthy, I gave them no respect whatsoever. I'm not saying that is how it should have been, but I remember not being too concerned about that. Last year, I'm trying to think of how – I think I want to put OKC above last year, and I don't rank this one very high. I'm with Dibs. This one – I'd like to be able to hype it up a little bit more. I think more of the problem lies with the Warrior side of the equation than it does with Portland. Like, the OKC threat was because of OKC. Houston threat last year was because of Houston. I don't see Portland coming into this is going to be very, very dependent on its stars. And playing a seven-game series, you mentioned the four overtimes. This is a huge step up in class. And this is a very, very different opponent than what you're used to. Like, the Warriors coming off the Rocket series, now you turn your attention to two other guards who can shoot. Okay, what's so different between the two, right? Like, the way these two teams play in terms of pace, Houston's near the bottom. They really slow it down, but Portland's not moving at breakneck speed. Portland goes out on the road, and this year they rank 16th in defensive rating overall. They rank 20th in effective field goal percentage when on the road, 8th at home. That's a huge fall off. So you take that equation and then you flip it and you look at what the Blazers have to contend with based on their first two matchups. Slow Denver, who plays defense. Oklahoma City, who's a complete train wreck from the floor. You got two teams that ranked outside of the top 13 in field goal percentage, three-pointers made, three-point percentage, and effective field goal percentage during the regular season. And now you turn your attention to the Western Conference Finals, where the Warriors ranked 1-3-3-1 in those categories. That is a massive shift. I think it's a huge advantage for the Warriors going into this series that they just came off the Clippers, who move at a breakneck speed and love to shoot, the Rockets, who have good guards, and then you get into Portland. I don't think there's a huge change there, whereas for Portland, I think there's a massive shift.
Right, and I think the only shift for the Warriors is how much do you use your big man to counteract Enes Kanter, who you didn't see the first four times you played. Kanter was on the Knicks. Yusuf Nurkic, by the way, had some pretty big games against Golden State in the four matchups. Warriors didn't have Bogut. So the teams, from a front court standpoint, are markedly different. And how you're going to counteract Enes Kanter when he gets in there, I think, is an interesting part of it. And then the bench, what do you do bench-wise to match up with Portland, who can get you with different sizes, whether it's Enes Kanter or if Harkless is in there or Farouk Aminu, depending on the pieces that Portland deploys, how does Steve Kerr match up with it? But to me, it's ultimately about the two-on-two matchup of your two best guards against their two best guards. As long as you keep that somewhat close, I don't see how Portland wins the series.
The worst thing they could do is show them those stats. Because if you look at those stats, you're going to be like, oh, this is what they're supposed to be. This is who they are. No, that's the worst thing you do, because when it gets down to it, it changes. The guys on the court, we can look at the numbers and you look at those. Man, this is a huge advantage for the Warriors. Absolutely. You look at that and say, okay, now I just don't want my team to play down to its level. Well, guess what? It happens. You saw the Rockets have a chance to do something to the Warriors. Game five, you're at here. KD goes out. You have the lead, and you can't win. The Warriors find a way to win. Dorn near cover. I think this is going to be the best series yet. I really believe that. I'm saying it because I'm just watching a team that knows how to fight. I'm watching a team that knows how to scrap. And I'm watching there when those guys should have quit against Denver. I said, man, they're going to lose. I didn't think they were going to fight. Portland has shown me, has shocked me, and continues to impress me. I think they're coming here hungry. I think they're coming here with gritty. I think they're going to fight. I think that, of course, and I don't think this team is, they are not just saying it's just the Warriors. I think this is going to be the best series we've seen thus far for the Warriors in the playoffs.
I will say this. There's something to fear about a team that has no fear. The Blazers are on house money here. This is the best possible scenario for them. They got swept out of the playoffs last year. They read the press clippings for a year. They got no respect from anyone in any regard whatsoever.
None respect.
Nurkic got hurt. They went into a first-round matchup against OKC, in which most picked OKC to win. And then, not only did they go on to win that in five, they go up against Denver, which if they lose there, fine. If you lose in Game 7 at Denver, it's like, all right, Portland took steps in the right direction. Nurkic comes back healthy next year, you're in good shape.
Right.
But they find a way to win that game. They were down 3-2. They come home. They win a crucial game 6. They go back to altitude, and they win that game on the road. And now they're going up against a team that they have no chance against in the eyes of many. ESPN has its predictions out from all its basketball insiders. Nice guy Steven sent this over to me. It's like 20 predictions. You go down the page, every single person takes the Warriors. You lose this series, no one's going to mock you at all. You made it this far. You've achieved everything you could possibly achieve. You are back in the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. So the fan base is stoked about everything. You're not talking about firing coaches or trading players. You've got every possible positive storyline you could possibly hope for. That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous to play against a team that has nothing to lose. Houston had a lot to lose in that series. Houston especially had a lot to lose at the end of Game 5 and Game 6. Philly had a lot to lose in the series against Toronto. Boston had a lot to lose in the series against Milwaukee. Toronto's got a lot to lose in the series against the Bucks. If that doesn't go well, Kawhi could be out the door. The Bucks have a lot to lose if they blow it against Toronto. Number one team, they've been front-running. They've got extra rest. Guys are coming back healthy. If you can't handle the Raptors, what does that say? The Warriors have everything to lose because everyone's looking for them to be taken down. Portland, very, very dangerous when a team has nothing to worry about, nothing to lose, especially with Dame Lillard coming back to Oakland, where we already know he plays out of his mind. 27.8 points per game against the Warriors in his career, highest total against any team in the NBA. That's what's scary, because teams like that, you don't rattle them in the fourth quarter. Philly, you rattle late in games. They come off timeouts. They don't understand how to get the ball off inside of 24 seconds. Portland, you're not going to rally. You're not going to rattle. They're not going to be scared of anything.
They're not supposed to be here. When Nurkic got hurt, what did we all do? We said, man, nice run, Portland.
That's exactly
it's too darn bad.
It's a shame.
You hate to see him go. Yeah, OKC is just better. If you had Nurkic, maybe you would have had a chance. The Nurkic, Steven Adams. But the Thunder, and that was my contention about a month ago, Thunder going to beat Portland and, you know, you pat Dame and Lillard on the head and you say, we'll see you next year when you get your big man back. Well, you shock the Thunder. Actually, you beat up the Thunder. And then you watch Denver let their lead shrivel away. 17-point lead in Game 7, the biggest Game 7 deficit ever overcome in the playoffs. So Portland is playing on that found money. Ultimately, Joe, what you said sticks with me more than all of this, though. The Dame homecoming, the motivation, them playing free of mind, and that is the step up in class. I think that this step up, especially for the bench players, for Zach Collins, for Mo Harkless.
Collins versus Clay, an underrated storyline in this. Remember the last time those two got together?
Yeah.
Clay was quite irate.
Cue up the Taylor Swift Bad Blood, if you can, back there, because those two have a little bit of bad blood. I think ultimately when you look at the bench players and the step up, Seth Curry, etc. I think the step up is too great for Portland, and their dream run ends.
How many remember this? Nice Guy and Anna were playing this morning. Kevin Durant went on CJ McCollum's podcast like last summer. I think it was last July. I remember listening to it before I went to those fish shows at Bill Graham. And they were talking about the Blazers getting bombed out of the playoffs by the Pelicans and the Warriors going out and getting Boogie Cousins. Take a listen.
Bro, that was hot. I don't know if I was more mad than when you went to go. I think I was more mad.
Why are you mad about this stuff?
Bro, I'm in the league. What do you mean? Why am I mad about this stuff?
Mean,
I'm in the Western Conference. I got to play you MFers all the time anyway, as it is, over and over again. We done got eliminated by y'all a few times in the first round. So I'm looking
so
at Cuz.
I mean, you know you guys aren't going to win a championship.
Bro, we have the team. We have the capabilities. Anything is possible. We can win a championship, bro.
I mean, let's be honest.
Bro, we can't win a championship. Anything is possible.
I just need to look. I need more. I mean, I like y'all. I like the two. I like y'all two. You're hard to stop. But, I mean, come on.
Wow.
I'm glad everyone was able to enjoy their lunch during that 1 hour. I forgot about that. Like, that is unbelievable to me. But regardless of the eating lunch while doing the podcast,
wow,
that was laughable back then. I think we played that on air and we all got a kick out of it. And it's like, it's cool that McCollum's putting on for his team and for his town. You know, you want that from your guys. You want to believe your guys believe. And then Durant laughing at McCollum was something we all laughed at. We all moved on. And now here we are in the Western Conference Finals. McCollum's ready to go. 30 points in Game 6 and Game 7 with no turnovers. Has only happened two other times in NBA history where guys gone back-to-back in the playoffs scoring 30 or more points with no turnovers. Michael Jordan and Chauncey Billups. So he's ready to go. Durant's not even healthy. We might not even see Durant in this series.
I think that Portland's looking at this and saying, we couldn't ask for a better situation. The Rockets couldn't handle it. We will. They don't have KD right now. They may not have him this whole series. This is equal. We got two guys that can do what two guys can do. We have two superstars. You look at Clay and Steph, and those two guys on that other team thinking they're just as equal, if not better. You can't think that Dame doesn't think that he's been shunned out of all-star games. He's looking at this personal. He said, man, I should be an MVP. You don't think Dame's saying those same things and people have said that about him? This guy's been slighted. You talk about now he's arrived because he's starting to get his due because people get to see him. But you said he's always been doing this. And he knows he's always been doing this. And now the stage is set. They're looking at this and their coach and their staff is saying, you know what? They don't have KD. They don't have their great equalizer. They don't have their luxury guy. Look, the stage ain't too big for us. If they're crazy, you're crazy if you think that this stage is going to be too big for them. You're crazy if you think that they just think that they're going to waltz in here and the Warriors are going to just crush them. Now, the Warriors are supposed to think they're going to crush them. But I'm telling you, that locker room and those men, they've been battle-tested. They believe they're winning this series.
Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game presented by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. We are about 8 minutes away from your first opportunity to win tickets to Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals between the Blazers and the Warriors. Tip time is 6 p.m. on Thursday over at Oracle. You will have a chance to win tickets to Game 2 today at 8 a.m., tomorrow at 8 a.m., and Thursday at 8 a.m. 888-957-9570 is the number. Jonathan in San Francisco, who says we never take his calls anymore. Guess what, Jonathan in San Francisco? We're taking your call. How you doing?
Yay. Welcome back, guys. You guys are just too big now, man. This show started with me and like two other guys. Now you got billions. I can't even get through. I've been trying for years now. It's like you guys are like Game of Thrones, you know? You just like, I got to wait. And then, boom, I can get through. It's like winning in two numbers in 7-Eleven. But let me get quick, man. I don't see I don't see the game going past five games. But, you know, the Warriors sometimes, man, they get lazy basically. You know, they get lousy when they're feeling good. So right now the Warriors are feeling good. But, yeah, we know how to play the Portland team. So we got Iggy and we got Clay to check on McCollum and Lillard. But it's going to be a fun series, man. No more floppers. You know, none of those acts anymore with the Rockets. We got rid of those drama queens. It's just going to be pure basketball, and they're going to be bombs away. I'm excited, man. Just like Guru said, I'm excited. So I'm excited for this series. But, you know, take out the equity loan in the house and put it on the Warriors, man. This is a sure thing. We're going to go three-peat. It's great that they show that, you know, even without KD, it's still a legitimate team that, you know, that could go all the way even without him, you know, if he leaves or whatever. You know, it only takes a couple more guys, and we're back in business. Go Warriors.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, Jonathan. I think he makes a great point that we've completely missed. Now that the Houston series is done, we're done with all of the flopping and the officiating and the crybaby complaining. Like, how great is that? That was such an unnecessary storyline for too many games. And you have to watch Paul diving onto the floor at the mere scent of contact. Now, McCollum and Lillard don't play that way. There might be a head throw every now and again to try to draw a foul because it's gamesmanship when you do it every now and again. I'm okay with that, everything in moderation. But when that's your style of play, when that's your go-to move, little Chris and Jimmy, it's unwatchable. That's a great point.
That is good. And I just now, for the first time, checked the referee assignments as we're talking about it. Mark Davis gets the assignment. He of Game 6 in the Warriors win over Houston. Our programmer, our assistant program director, Danny Freisinger, had pointed out previously that the Warriors really struggle when Mark Davis officiates, and he cited a previous game where a lot of calls were going against Golden State. I didn't see that in Game 6, but he is the crew chief tonight.
Don't he have the OTAs? Don't the Raiders have the OTAs today with Mark
Davis?
There
it is. There it is. Okay. It had to be done. Someone had to make the joke.
Yeah. Okay.
Old Chucklehead came right in and delivered like he needed to.
And I'll give you a little bit of bonus low, too.
You laughing at your own material. How many games does Kevin Durant play in this series? Prison bat. I've thrown a lot of stuff out there that, you know, we're all allowed to make our prognostications.
Joe, I think
loosey-goosey. How many is he going to play?
I think it's predicated on when the series turn.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot you need to take into account.
You do, because
I want an exact number.
Let me know when you want an actual answer.
Hold on. Let him build up to it. You didn't have an actual answer earlier.
I did, though, now.
When I set you up 55 times in a trivia question. Let the cruise ship pull out of Miami. All right? You're not allowed to start drinking up there until you get into international waters. That's when they open the casino. So let the cruise ship get out of port.
Man.
You know what's so interesting, Joe, is they sit here, and then once I start going through my analysis, they're like, wow, okay, yes, I like that. And then they build off of it and think of their own ideas. So
it's called glob on.
Yeah, glob on. So
is he saying they as in us?
I guess so.
Okay.
Anywho, it's going to be predicated is how big is the punch that Portland's going to have. If Portland comes out here and friggin' splits this series, KD may be out a little quicker than you think. If this team, if the Warriors go through and, like Dib said, 4 or 5 games, then he won't play. But in my what I believe, because Portland is going to punch, I think it'd be game six.
Again, the question was, how many games
will he play?
So it'll be 2.
Well, that means it has to go 7. If the series ends in 5,
it's going 7.
You're off by 2.
It's going 7.
You're gonna have this series going 7 games?
Yeah.
Really?
Because you guys, everyone discounted them off.
There's good money to be made on that.
I know. Hey, Dibs has got his what, and his face is all red, and he's already twisting his mouth like he's about to have a stroke over there. Everyone's writing this team off, and Portland understands that. This is going to be a battle, guys.
All right, so you have the Blazers in 7, you're saying, and Durant makes an appearance in game 6, and he plays 2 games.
Yeah, and the Warriors win. But it's going to go 7.
Yeah, all right. Wow. Wow, this is why y'all shouldn't have been jumping in. You see what he got to there? Once the cruise ship got out to open seas, everyone started having a good time.
I'm already seasick, and we can still see San Francisco. So if you wouldn't mind just dropping me off like in Oakland, I'll go ahead and skip the rest of that cruise ship.
Yeah, the cruise ship is going to swing by Oakland and then head out to sea.
Well, you can just dump me off near the Bay Bridge, and I'll swim for it because I can't imagine spending 7 luxurious days and nights on this cruise ship.
All right, so how do you see it then? How many games is Kevin Durant going to play?
The answer is 1. The correct answer is 1, and you get right to the answer first, Lo, and then you go to the analysis after is normally what you do. You lead with your best stuff.
I like the build-up. I got to be honest. I like what he was doing there.
That was not much of an inverted pyramid, quite frankly. The answer is 1. It'll be game 5. The Warriors will be up 3-1. They will be coming home. KD will finally be right. He'll play just to break a sweat as they finish off this gentleman's sweep. It's a virtual motorboating as opposed to the cruise ship that we just got
to
enjoy.
How much money you got? Since I'm such a joke, how much money you got?
I didn't say you were a joke.
Yeah, the cruise ship. Let me jump up. Put your money where your mouth is, coach.
I think we can set something up here, but what's the bet? You're saying Warriors in 7. You're saying Warriors in 5. If it's Warriors in 6, that's what, a push?
No, because I think I should win.
Of course.
I think I should win.
I'm not sure I'm going to back you on that one.
No, but no. He's saying it's a gentleman's sweep. He's saying they should sweep, but they're just going to let him win 1 game. So if that's the case, it should be then he should be like, after anything over 5, he loses.
There's something we can come up with here. Doesn't need to be a foot runner, but I already see you getting antsy.
I'm already out with his.
What do you mean you're out?
I'm out, coach. He comes over here and tries to insult my character and tries to insult my take.
Why don't you press rewind and listen to what you're saying?
Why don't you lay out for a minute and let me go ahead and wrap up my little cruise ship to Catalina here as we try to steer this boat around. It's 1 game. It's Warriors in 5, Joe. That's my answer.
All right. We are going to come back to this from a betting perspective.
Good.
This is not done. Anna, your prediction, how many games are we going to see from Kevin Durant in this series? And you can also give us the series prediction
as well.
You
got it. So we're going to see Kevin Durant in 1 game, and it'll be game 6 to close it out because I think the Warriors will need 6 games to win this. But he's going to come back when the Warriors are up 3-2, close it out. Don't get the series tied at 3-3.
Dibs, can you tell me what you see on the piece of paper that I just handed you?
Yes, inside the box, you wrote the word Anna, followed by a colon, GSW in 6.
Once he took seven and Dibs took five, I'm sitting here going, she is going to split that right down the middle.
All four and boom.
If you had gone to me first, I would have told you Warriors in six from the beginning. I would have told you that from the beginning.
Anna, GSW, in six.
Ask nice guy Steven. I
wrote it down right
before
I threw. I turned the piece of paper. I pushed it in Dibs' direction, and I pointed to it.
Fort Stradamus, I believe.
Once you took seven and he took five, there was literally no direction for her to go.
I am sure.
A sweep would have been aggressive. A sweep would have been too aggressive, and she's not going to pick against the Warriors.
No, but I also think that Portland's going to be a bigger problem than everyone thinks.
It's
a strong prediction, though. Yes, I think it's going to be Warriors in six, and I don't think they're going to bring Kevin Durant back because they are worried about him. They're trying to save him for the NBA Finals if possible. And if they're going to bring him back, it's because they do not want Portland to tie it up at three apiece.
All right. There could be a little three-way bet action going on here. Little like in soccer, three-way action. One side to draw. Obviously, all your options.
What do you have on that, by the way? What's your gut?
Give me a sec. Let's go ahead and get legal. We got tickets to give away. People are very excited.
Right.
We're very excited. You are listening to...
Seriously. 90,
he's sneaky. As in, like, I didn't know I was going to have to give a prediction.
God.
And this is I'm going to back away from the microphone.
Yes,
as I just
after
disrupted
you tease
all
blocked
the professional
him.
Stuff.
You ticket block, you tease block. Just lay out, dog. What are we
Go
listening
have
to,
yourself
Joe?
A Coke and a smile. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to
Come
8 o'clock
down,
hour.
Dibs.
It feels
still,
like
still.
Your 4 p.m. hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us today. You know, Greg Pop at 8:30, Amin El Hassan at 9:30. We're going to give away an opportunity to win tickets to game two Thursday night in just a few moments here. I will predict zero games from Kevin Durant in this series. I do not think we see him in the series. We'll play the Steve Kerr audio after we give away the tickets in just a bit. I think this injury is a lot worse than they're letting on. Everyone's led to believe it's the Achilles when it happens because, of course, we all have to shotgun our medical diagnosis all over the internet and the airwaves without any actual formal medical training. Reggie Miller et al. All of us as well. Guilty of this because I'm sitting there and as soon as I see it, it's, ooh, that's awful. That's the Achilles. And then Reggie says, of course it's the Achilles. I mean, of course. Dr. Chow, everyone. Then it turns out it's just the calf. But every other mild calf strain he's had has required 7 days to come back. One of them was the first year here in the opening round of the playoffs when you didn't need him back. The other was in January of 2018 when, again, you didn't need him back. Came back in 7 days both times. 7 days is tomorrow. He was injured on a Wednesday. Like, this is the seventh day. Tomorrow would be a thought where he's not getting reevaluated until Thursday. I don't think we see him. I don't think we're going to see him in the series. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I don't think we see him in the series. We'll hear from Steve Kerr in just a moment, but right now, let's get down to some business here. Realtor.com and 95.7 The Game are teaming up again this round to give you a chance to win sideline club seats with VIP parking for Game 2 of the Warriors-Portland series. I forgot that these are sideline club seats. Here's all you need to do. Go to realtor.com/warriors right now and enter the code word REAL. As in, if we have that Kalena drop, that would be great to play right about now.
That's real.
Actually says it right here. That's real. So you're going to go to realtor.com.
That's real.
REALTOR.com/warriors. And once you get there, you're going to enter the keyword REAL. Another chance to qualify tomorrow at 8 a.m. as well as Thursday at 8 a.m. We are going to pick a winner around 9 a.m. on Thursday. That person's headed to Game 2 versus Portland. 95.7 The Game is your home for Warriors playoff coverage and Realtor.com home court advantage. Complete rules at 95.7thegame.com. Do we have the Steve Kerr audio with the Kevin Durant update, please?
I think everyone needs to slow down a little bit on the Kevin stuff. He hasn't even stepped on the floor yet. You know, we've tried to remain somewhat vague because the injury is really sort of open-ended in terms of how long he's going to need to recover. But I think in doing so, maybe people have gotten the idea that he's going to come back and, you know, be Willis Reed or something. He hasn't even stepped on the floor yet. He still has pain. There's some time ahead of him on the rehab process, so we'll have a more detailed update on Thursday.
That doesn't sound good to me. This is the Western Conference Finals, and Kerr's telling everyone to slow down. He's already out for one. It's virtually a lock he's not going to play game two. Like, you're not going to go out and get reevaluated for the first time since the injury.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave. I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.